Thank you, Emily. I got a little teary-eyed over there because of the estrogen. It was flowing in the room. Well, good evening. Turn to someone and say, "You are beautiful and you give me joy." Go for it. For this talk, you will need a Bible. If you want to take notes, grab a pen or a notebook or something. And in the end, you might need a tambourine, because we're going to sing at the end. I'm glad you brought your Bible. Turn to the book of John, chapter 15. It'll be also one of our theme verses for the retreat. And by the way,
welcome to the women's retreat.
In John chapter 15, Jesus is giving his last time of prayer with his disciples. It's a very important time of prayer. And he prays in verse 9 of chapter 15, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's own commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for this holy ground. We pray that you would anoint this time of teaching, that you would anoint this place, that your Holy Spirit would invade, that there would be no other spirit in this room except your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Joy is a word we throw around quite a bit, like happiness. And it's a synonym, of course. And we have kind of this understanding that we want to be happy. And we talk to a lot of people every day, and that's the goal of their life, to be happy. It's our cultural goal. It's our cultural vision as Americans to be happy. We feel like we're owed some kind of happiness. But when you dive a little bit deeper into the definition of biblical joy and what's going on here, there's a lot to talk about. And you could spend weeks talking about the subject. It's just a short three-letter word that is packed with scripture. It is just amazing how the Bible will explode when you start studying this word joy. And I really need to just kind of take a moment to if you can, just kind of scrap out of your mind what you think about happiness and joy from a worldly sense. And we want to reprogram our mind. We want to reprogram our brains to the understanding of what is joy. And what is God's understanding of joy? And what are we talking about here all through the Bible when we talk about joy? So when you get into the word study of this word, there's a Greek word called simcha. That's the Hebrew. Simcha is the Hebrew, and kara is the joy in the New Testament, and it's used hundreds of times. You'll read some commentaries say these words are used 500 times in the Old Testament, 300 times in the New Testament, but it's used a lot of times, this word joy. Kara means joy or delight or emotion, but when you dive deeper into the word kara, it's a feminine noun. Oh, that's great. Which means it has feminine characteristics. That's awesome. And it's defined as gladness. And all of the commentaries will say that it's also, you need to talk about the source of joy, that joy comes from a source. It doesn't just invade your life. It comes from somewhere. So then you start thinking of source. Well, where does joy come from? And how do you get joy? How do you get full joy? How do you tap into this source? How do you hang on to joy? How do you live a joyful life? So when you start talking about kara, you realize that it's a cognate. Shannon, you know what a cognate is, don't you? It means it's connected. It comes from an etymological history, from lots of other words that make this word kara. It's from the root kar. It's chi alpha rho, if you know Greek, kar. It means extended favor. It means to lean towards and be favorably disposed. It means to have an awareness of God's grace and favor. An awareness of God's grace and favor will bring joy. That's the source. So if we were to funnel it all down to a definition, joy is the grace of God recognized. Is that awesome? The grace of God recognized. The word karo is to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. It comes from the same root. It also has the root kar, is the word for grace. Karis is the Greek word for grace. All connected. Grace, rejoice, joy. Grace, rejoice, joy. One Bible dictionary puts it this way. Joy is the durable and permeating gratitude rooted in unchanging outcomes. Let me repeat that. Joy is durable and permeating gratitude rooted in unchanging outcomes, such as the fact that by the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, I am saved, I am not dead in my sin anymore, and I will be seated at the right hand of God with Jesus forever. That's it. Amen. That is the joy. I'll repeat that again. By the sacrificial blood of Jesus and by his death on the cross, I am saved. And I am not dead in my sin anymore. And I will be seated with Jesus in heaven forever. That is the permeating, durable gratitude, because I have an unchanging outcome. And I have assurance of that. And John, in 1 John 4, it says, These things are written so that you may know you have eternal life. It's not, I hope I'm going to heaven, or I think I'm going to heaven, or I might be going to heaven. It is, I'm going to heaven. And I have this unchanging outcome because of the joy that is within me of knowing that I've been saved. And that's my testimony. So where does joy come from? What is the source of joy? It comes from being rooted in that grace. Well, what is grace? What is charis, grace? Grace is unmerited favor that God, by his sacrificial love. We can take this all the way back to Genesis. Adam and Eve, if you eat the fruit of this tree, the day that you eat of it, you will die. They ate of it. And guess what? They didn't die. Was God lying? Was God just exaggerating? Was God having a rough day that day? He just misspoke? He was too harsh? Well, no. They didn't die, but something died. God made them garments of skin from a dead animal that God had to kill in front of them. And I think Adam and Eve are looking at the animal going, well, what did the animal do? This is my way. An innocent third party will die, and you will wear the skins of this animal, and then you will go free. You won't die, but something will die. There will be a sacrifice. And that is my grace. That is my grace in you. You should have died in your sins, but God made a way through Jesus Christ that you would not die, that you would have life. That brings joy. That brings the joy. The sources of joy, we can go all the way back to the creation story. You know, the creation story has a lot of interesting parts to it. We don't realize that, you know, on the first day, light was created and God separated the light from the darkness. But on day four, the sun and the moon and the stars were created. It's a mistake. We found a mistake in the Bible. No. The creation story is true, and it's right. There was light on the first day. Well, John says that light was Jesus. And Jesus was the light. He was the Word. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And we beheld Him. We beheld His glory as the one and only of the Son of God. You also know that in Genesis, all of the days of creation, just by coincidence, happened to defeat a local country's deity. In other words, on day one and two, light and waters were created. A lot of people worshipped what was in the waters, but God created the water. So in a way, God created your God. Our God's superior. Well, a lot of different neighboring countries worshipped plants and animals and all kinds of creatures and things. And oh, by the way, on days three and four and five, God created all your gods. So our God is superior because our God created your God. You can go on and on with this. But the point of the creation story is also that it brought joy to God. It was good. Joy had enveloped God in a way that as He created, this brought joy. So we participate in that joy. We participate in the creation. We get joy from creation. It's very good. So naturally, we find joy in nature. We find joy in beautiful things. We find joy in animals. We find joy in all kinds of created things that God created. And we get to experience that joy because God put that in us because it's part of His creation. But what do? We pervert it. The devil cannot create anything, but the devil can take what's been created and twist it and pervert it. And so we get to live in this great culture where there's all kinds of selfishness and death and pain and sorrow, mainly because we have taken the beauty of what God has created to bring joy and we've twisted it. And now it brings pain. We've perverted the creation. So God wants to restore that, and it will be restored. And so then we get to probably the next greatest moment of joy for God was the Exodus. Genesis, Exodus. So turn to Exodus. You can just kind of flip through chapter 7 through 15 of the Exodus story, and you can see it through your chapter headlines. We're not going to read all the way through the Exodus story. Exodus, somewhere around chapter 7, the Exodus begins. And then it culminates and ends in chapter 15, where we're going to spend some time on the Song of Moses. It's awesome, the joy. Now, one of the beautiful things about the Bible is that David wrote Psalm 105 for us. So turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105 is a summary of Exodus. And again, we won't read the whole Psalm, but we want to highlight some things from it. Psalm 105, we're going to get into the source of joy, the place where joy is rooted in our scriptures, that will then reveal to us as we walk through life how we receive joy from these sources. Psalm 105, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his name. And he goes on and on. And then he gets to the Exodus. Let's go down to verse 16. And he talked about the covenant made with Abraham, and it's an everlasting covenant. In verse 16, we start talking about the Exodus. I'm sorry, that's about Joseph. Wait a minute, let me see here where I am. Okay, verse 23. Psalm 105, verse 23. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob lived as an alien in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his miraculous signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark, for had they not rebelled against his words. He turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up to the bedrooms of the rulers. And we can read about the plagues that God visited upon Egypt. And again, with each plague, God is destroying a deity among the Egyptians. These were deified animals or deified weather patterns or however they wanted to make their God known. And again, it's like our God controls your God. Watch this. And then we have all these incredible plagues. Verse 31, he spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. 32, he turned their rain into hail with lightning through their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees. And even to this day, you can look at archaeological digs through Egypt, through the pyramids, and see all of these gods among the Egyptians. Verse 34, he spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up everything green in their land, ate up the produce of their soil. Then he struck down all the firstborn in their land, the firstfruits of all their manhood. He brought out Israel with laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because dread of Israel had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the water gushed out like a river. It flowed in the desert, for he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy, and he gave them the lands of the nations. And they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe their laws. So Psalm 105 is a beautiful summary of the Exodus. But in the end, it becomes very clear that the joy of God's people is not determined by their struggle, but by their destiny. I'll repeat that. Usually when I repeat something, you should write it down. The joy of God's people is not determined by their struggle, but by their future destiny. We know this unchangeable outcome. The Bible has been written. The book ends in Revelation. We know what's coming. Isaiah 51, verse 11. You don't have to turn there if you want to just write this down. Isaiah 51, 11. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So now turn to Exodus chapter 15. And we get to this high moment, the denouement. You like that word, Shannon? The denouement of joy in the Old Testament. This is the song of Moses. This is the source of joy. Exodus 15. They got across, and Moses and Miriam, probably more Miriam than Moses. Wasn't she the older sister? Is that right? Miriam was the older sister? They begin this song. I will sing unto the Lord. This is like boomer worship. Right? I will sing to the Lord. He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Why is that important? The horse, why didn't they just say the chariots and all them guys? No, it's the horse was the symbol and the chariots, the riders, it was the power. What Egypt thought was their, like we talk about nuclear power today, where we have these many nuclear warheads. It's our power. These were their nuclear warheads were drowned in the sea. And not only were they drowned in the sea, but they were permanently destroyed forever. And what this means when we think about this spiritually in our own lives and the joy that we walk through in our lives is that when you become a Christian, when you know that the source of our joy is that we've been on this journey, we've been unfaithful and we forgot God, then we meet God, he forgives us of our sins, and those things that caused us to sin are destroyed. They're gone. They're permanently destroyed. And they cannot, this is why it's so important, they cannot hurt you anymore. The horse and its rider, he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Those were the people that probably persecuted the Jews the most, were the military officers when they were enslaved. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who oppressed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself in them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you, God, you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your hand and the earth swallow them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. All right? You will bring them in the plant. You will bring them and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling. The sanctuary, O Lord, of your hands will be established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters back of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Amen. And Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider have been hurled into the sea. Can we just give God a hand for that? That song, it's a long song, but that song is the model of our joy. It's God's joy in us. And it's for the purpose of worship. when we worship, I mean, the singing tonight was so beautiful. I couldn't sing because of the estrogen again. It was crazy. This is the entire purpose of Exodus, that the Israelites were saved by God's grace in order to give glory to God. Moses and the people sing praise to God. It's the joy of the Lord. When we talk about the joy of the Lord, this was God's joy to do this for his people. It was a gift to his people. And so we praise God in the crossing of the Red Sea, and we praise him for all that he is. The people of Israel were helpless. We are helpless. We go through all kinds of problems. We go through not the army of the Egyptians, but we have similar problems. This is our journey. This is the Christian's journey. That's why this story is so important. But the Lord delivered them. Let me repeat this. The Lord delivered them by his grace. And it was all rooted, and he acted on his promise to Abraham. It was to promise, it's God keeping his promise that I will take you where I'm taking you. But in this life, you will come against all kinds of barricades, and it'll look like your back is against the wall. It looks like you're standing next to the Red Sea, and we can't get across. We get stuck. And God says, no, I know what I'm doing. I will take you where you need to go, even to the point of I'll do a miracle. I'll part the waters. You will walk through, and you will be loved. You will be blessed. In his greatest work, in his own Son, Jesus Christ, God has rescued us from the domain of sin and darkness, and he's delivering us into his kingdom. And we know the end of the story. God throws Satan into a lake of fire. Praise God. We have all the more reason to praise God, but the point is that this is the source of joy. This is the God that we love and the God that we know. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. I mean, they were in slavery. How could you have any hope? How could you have any joy being enslaved? But this is what the Song of Moses is. It transitions from praising God for the victory over the Egyptians to praising God for who he is. It's funny that the first verses really talk about the horse and the rider being thrown into sea. And then there's a section, verses 14 to 18, where it talks about the destruction of all the surrounding countries. There's no more fear. So it's not only that God took them through the waters to save them from the Egyptians, but just the word of hearing what God did, all the surrounding people and countries and armies and other countries that were threatening the Israelites, they shrunk back. So when God takes you through one area, there's kind of this peripheral chain reaction that happens, like, oh, God really did that. God is awesome. And other people might even come to know God in all that. So there's praise for God for what he does, praise for God for what he will do, and we praise God for who he is. I want to go back to verse 11 just briefly. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Who is like you, O Lord? I mean, this is clearly rhetorical, but the answer is obvious. God loves to be the one. God loves to be the one that, in a way, shows off. And no, we say the source of our joy comes from the fact that God is so unique. No other God is like our God. Our God reigns. Our God is supreme. Our God is majestic in holiness. And he's different. He's separate from all others. It's like God is high as 5 miles high, and every other God is down here, just kind of on this equal, weird, you know, playing field. But God is awesome in his power. We should praise him, praise his name when a victory is won, praise him also when we feel defeated, because we already know our unchangeable outcome. God is God. Now, one of the most beautiful things that we need to read in closing is I want to go toward Mary's song. There's the song of Moses, but then there's Mary's song of joy. So turn to Luke. Matt and Kelly will kind of talk more about joy in the New Testament. I wanted to talk about joy in the Old Testament, but I wanted to bring up the Song of Mary because it's very similar to the Song of Moses. I think it's Luke 1, verse 46. Luke 1, verse 46. You know, the context here is that Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, came. She's visiting Mary, and John jumped for joy in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cries out to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And in response, and to the angel having told Mary that she would birth the Messiah, she breaks into this song, "My soul glorifies the Lord." This is pure joy. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And now, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." And then there's this beautiful, just like Moses would say, "Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This is Mary. This is a young lady that is just profoundly filled with joy and breaks out into that song. It's the Song of Moses. Finally, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 15. The musicians can come up if you want to come on up. Revelation chapter 15. Revelation is in the back of your Bible. I had a lady in my church one time. She said, "Pastor Bill," she said, "I believe in the whole Bible, from Genesis to maps." She thought the maps were anointed. "I saw in heaven," this is Revelation 15, "I saw in heaven another great marvelous sign. Seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and over his image and over the number of his name." Hello. "They held harps given to them by God." Can you imagine a harp made by God? That would be like a... That's better than a Martin guitar, isn't it? No, maybe not better than Martin. "They held harps given them by God, and they sang..." What? "We're going to sing the Song of Moses in heaven. They sang the Song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. True, just are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for you have righteous act. For your righteous acts have been revealed." We will sing the Song of Moses. Why don't you stand with me? And let's just do that. Let's participate with the voices of heaven and sing the song of Moses.